It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me for It's a Good Life. We've been studying God's church, and in particular, the last few times we've been studying the purpose of the local church. The last time, I made mention of the fact that Peter and John were placed in jail because of their testimony for the Lord. Let me make this clear, that they were placed there because they were standing up for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why did they go to jail? Once again, they stood up for the Lord. But in particular, in chapter 3 of the book of Acts, it talks about Peter and John going up to the temple. And there was a fellow there out in front of the temple, and it says in verse 3, it says, "Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms." Now, some people believe that he was asking for money or food or whatever. I believe he was asking specifically for money here. It says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 4, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And the man gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." Well, and this next verse is the reason I believe that he was speaking of money. It says, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him up by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Well, this was a great miracle that took place. And if you keep on reading there, you'll see that people saw this, and because of that, it opened the door for Peter and John to preach the gospel. Well, because they did preach the gospel, it says in chapter 4 and verse 1, it says this, "And as they spake unto the people," this would be Peter and John, "the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide." So we see here, because God healed this man through these men, that they got to preach the word of God. And because they were preaching the word of God, they were persecuted. Well, notice what happened as we continue on in chapter 4 of Acts. We see that these Sadducees and the priests and whoever was involved in this arrest of Peter and John couldn't hold them because they really didn't have anything to charge them with, and also because the people had seen a great miracle taking place. In verse 23 of chapter 4, it says, "And being let go," this was Peter and John, "they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." Well, I read in this verse, the last time that we were together, I read this in verse 24, and it says, "And when they," and that's the people, "heard that," in other words, they heard about what had taken place with Peter and John, and that they had been let go. It says, "They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." They rejoiced because God had taken care of his men of God. Well, what took place there was a great miracle. Not only did the impotent man get healed, he couldn't walk, and Peter said, "Rise up and walk." He helped him up, and the ankle bones, it says, received strength, and he was able to walk. Because of that, Peter and John were able to preach the gospel. And because they preached the gospel, they got arrested. But later on, they were let go because they couldn't be held because they had done nothing wrong. Well, then we see that the people, when they heard all of the things that had taken place there, they rejoiced that Peter and John had been released from jail. But they rejoiced that Jesus Christ had been exalted once again, and people got saved as a result. I want to remind you that all of this was accomplished by the power of God through the local church at Jerusalem. I believe that everything that is accomplished for the Lord today is sanctioned and accomplished through the local church. You mean, if you don't belong to a local church, you can't see people saved? I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that God wants to bless you to the fullest, and He wants to bless you through the local church that you're a member of. Or maybe you haven't joined a local church. You need to belong to a local Bible-believing, fundamental church that preaches the Word of God. Well, God has sanctioned His local church to do the job today on this earth. And if you are not a member of that Bible-believing local church that's doing the Word of God, well, you need to join one, as I've already said. Well, when we think of this, this is actually according to the Scriptures that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another daily. We're not to deviate from the Word of God. We're to follow the Scriptures 100%. Well, the purpose of the local church, as we've said, is to train believers, and in turn, those believers win the lost. Once again, let me remind you that I'm not saying people coming into the local church shouldn't or couldn't be saved. This is something that when God's Word is preached, things happen. People do get saved in local churches, but the prime goal of the local church is to train workers to go forth and bring in the harvest, to see and get people saved through the preaching of the Word of God, through witnessing for the Lord. Now let's continue on about the local church, God's church, and let me ask the question, where do we fit in God's local church? Now in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says this, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch." Well, there we see another local assembly at Antioch. This is not Jerusalem, this is Antioch. It says, "Certain prophets and teachers," that's Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, "and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister." Well, some had asked the question, why would they go to the synagogue? Well, we know that the Lord had saved them and that they were on their way to heaven. Well, why did they go to the synagogue? Well, they went to the synagogue because that's where the people were located. That's where the most people would be, so that this would be a great opportunity to present the Word of God to as many people as possible. Those people who were gathered at the synagogue would hear the Word of God. I want you to notice a couple of things with me. First of all, God calls each worker by name. You'll notice there in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, the Bible says, "There, separate me, Paul and Barnabas." God spoke specifically about Paul and Barnabas. He calls people by name. Now, not necessarily audibly. I believe that God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, through His Word. And I do not believe that God speaks audibly to us today. I believe that He speaks through His Word by the Holy Spirit. God calls each worker by name. Now notice each worker. First of all, every person in this world is born individually. In Job chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." Man has to be born from a woman. You say, well, what about this cloning that I've heard about? How does that work? Does that require a woman? The answer is yes, it does. Now, if it were possible for that to be taking place with a human being, and I've heard about it happening with animals, but let's say that it's possible that a human being could be cloned, I guarantee you that there's a woman involved somewhere along the line. There has to be a man. God does not deviate from the plan of procreation. There has to be male and female in order for a person to be born. Well, the primary thing I want you to see here is that every person born into this world is born individually. Then, when a person is saved, that person is born again individually, not as a group, not as a family, born again individually. John chapter 3 and verse 4 says, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? John chapter 3 and verse 7. And it says this, Marvel not, Jesus said, that I said unto thee, You must be born again. So every person that is saved is born again individually. And some people think because they grow up in a so-called Christian home that that makes them Christian. Well, that's not the case. The person must receive Jesus Christ individually. That person must receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They must come to Jesus Christ, realizing they cannot save themselves, that there's only one way to heaven, and that one way is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself said that He is the only way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. Well, that's as plain as the Bible can be. That's the Bible. That's not simply what I believe, and I do believe that, but it's what God says, and I believe God. So we see that every person is born individually, and every person in this world who is saved is born again individually. And we see now about workers that each worker is called individually. Notice up there it says in those verses, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, or Saul in other words. And that's what the Bible is teaching here in Acts chapter 9 and verse 4. It says, and he fell to the earth. This, of course, is talking about Paul, who was Saul at the time. He was persecuting the church, but he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. In verse 4 there it says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, then we see in Acts chapter 13 and verse 9 of Acts, it says, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And we see that Paul, who had been called Saul from Acts chapter 9 to Acts chapter 13, we see a great thing taking place in his life. He realized he was saved. He realized he was called to do something individually, and he preached the Word of God. We see within that period of time that Paul was called. He saw Jesus on that road to Damascus. He received Him as Savior. And then, by Acts chapter 13, he was preaching the Word of God. Paul was called by name. Well, again, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, we see once again that Ananias went his way. And the Bible says, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Ananias was called. So God calls people individually. And we see how that Paul, who was Saul, was called of God to get saved. And we read on, we keep reading how that even Jesus was called. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, it says, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Have you been called today? If you're unsaved, God's speaking to you right now that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's speaking to you right now because the Word of God has gone forth, and you know you need to get saved this very moment.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.